Welcome to the Business Not As Usual podcast with me, Jo Casey, helping coaches, healers, and service-based folks navigate these strange and frankly scary times. It's clear we're in uncharted territory, but you're not alone. In fact, there's no one person going to solve this, but we can do it together. Join me and my guests as we discuss where they're at with figuring things out, how you can take care of yourself emotionally and physically, answer those marketing questions such as, do you still market right now? And can you do that without being insensitive? We'll also be talking about what's giving us joy because we need that more than ever.
So I believe we are
Look
now
at us.
Live.
It says we are.
I know.
So I only do Facebook Lives with Jo Casey. Because I was in that room with you in your house. How many years ago was that? Too many. 3 years ago? In
three
England?
Three years ago.
Yeah.
3 years ago. I know.
Yeah. And I had a Facebook group for a hot minute and I did a couple of lives in there, but really it's only with you.
See, I like it now even more that you can do it through Zoom and things like that. So you can have other people. Can I just say, I like your glasses. I don't think I've ever seen those before.
So they're new. And Liz Applegate, who we're going to go live with on Thursday, but you'll be there. So I'm still allowed to do it. They're blue blocking glasses.
Ooh.
And I will tell you, I ordered them because one day last week, I think it was last Tuesday, I hit a major wall. I had a full day at staring at screens. And I mean, we all do that a lot, but I'm normally in and out. Like I have some in-person clients. I do a lot of in-person networking. So I usually get a fair amount of breaks and I'm just really hitting this exhaustion. So these are a woman-owned company. Thank you, Liz. They're called Top Fox. Blue blocking. And that's all they are. So they're just computer glasses. So I'm trying to get in the habit of putting them on when I'm staring at my screen so that after, I mean, so for me, it's 10 in the morning and my last meeting ends at 7 o'clock tonight. So I have 9 hours of looking at a computer ahead of me with a few breaks here and there. And I'm really just trying to wear them because I notice a difference in a couple of days.
That is really, I really like the idea of the blue blocking glasses, but isn't it also interesting how, because I was about to say, so our business hasn't changed that much because we're online, but I forget that you do a lot of in-person stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is definitely part of it. Well, and then my husband was like, you know, Windows 10 has a blue light blocking feature put in, but I mean, I didn't tell him that I was having this problem because I just solved the problems. I don't actually ask for help. Good coach.
Overfunctioner.
Overfunctioner. Thank you for that. And he's like, I mean, the glasses are cute, but you know, there's a setting in Windows 10. And I was like, Oh, well, the glasses are cute. So
they are very cute. So I'm just going to back up because not everybody knows you like intimately and has had you in their house like I have. So would you mind just taking a sec to introduce yourself, explain who you are, what is that you do in the world apart from being one of my besties?
Yay. So my name is Laura Heacock. I love Jo Casey. That's who I am in the world. I am a leadership coach and consultant. So what that means very simply is that I work with clients in pretty much two ways. One is privately one-on-one, much like Jo and the work that she does, but also in companies. So when companies hire a coach to come in and work with some of their leaders, that's another part of my practice that I have right now. So I also co-host a podcast called Doing Good Business with an amazing strategic planner named Kelly Stewart. And I run Kind Over Matter, which is a dinosaur of the internet. We've been around since 2009. We're a personal development blog. We feature tons of amazing people all under the umbrella of kindness. And I write every Monday.
Fabulous. You've done that before. That flew off the tongue really well. I'm impressed.
I wasn't even prepared.
It just comes naturally. So that kind of brings me straight into my first kind of line of not questioning as such, because this is the idea of these conversations is very much kind of conversational. Mm-hmm. But so for a lot of us who've been, you know, having a predominantly online business, which mine has been 90% for the past 2 years, not a huge amount in terms of the day-to-day operations of our businesses has changed. However, for you, you not only have this real mixture of in-person and online, but you do a ton of in-person networking. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're always at a networking mm-hmm. event or having a networking meeting with somebody. And so how are things feeling right now in terms of business?
Yeah, so I'll answer that in multiple ways. Right now, in this exact moment, fine. Mm-hmm. What I've noticed, so I live outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The county that I live in, I'm entering into week 4 of lockdown. And so it's been a while. And what I'm noticing is that I have an easier time during the week than on weekends. Mm-hmm. You know, during the week, there is some form of structure. You know, even it's all online, obviously, but there is still some form of structure. So, you know, the first week, everything was canceled. I'm on leadership committees for some of the groups that I belong in Philadelphia. So there was a ton of meetings trying to figure out which events are we going to cancel? You know, who do we have to notify? How do we change this and all that kind of stuff? So all of that's been resolved. And now we're starting to move towards the what do we offer for our members? So what are we going to do? So one of the groups we're doing just a virtual coffee this Friday morning, and we met the leadership team on Friday, and we came up with, I don't know, 6 or 8 different options of things to offer to the members that we can do for them virtually, just to help them get that connection. Mm-hmm. But I do notice, you know, I vacillate. Some days I was really frustrated on, I think it was, I don't know, most of the weekend, and just, I don't do well with the loss. This is, you know, overfunctioner and introvert mm-hmm. and control and all that kind of stuff. I don't like the loss of choice. So mm-hmm. if I want to take an entire weekend and binge watch, you know, on Saturday, we watched the entire second season of Parks and Rec. That was what we did, which is fine when it's by choice, but when it's by force and there's no other option, that's when mm-hmm. I start to get a little crunchy. So right now it's Monday. I have a structured day ahead of me. And what I'm seeing now is the groups are starting to do some virtual networking. So we are converting some of the things. There is, you know, I'm seeing a ton of Facebook groups pop up. I'm seeing a ton of virtual invitations. I'm seeing the groups starting to offer different things. So the shift is really starting to get more permanent. But, you know, it's been a cycle. I think at first it was just shock, I guess, and kind of a little bit of like, I don't know. And now I'm firmly in the no, this is the right thing to do, and we need to do this. And it usually feels fine. You know, I don't know how I'm going to go back to wearing something other than leggings, but I'm also pretty, I will be happy to do some stuff inside the house. But I definitely have noticed how much, there was definitely the first week or two when my body told me how much it needed this downtime. And, mm-hmm. you know, with a lot of the in-person stuff, it's either first thing in the morning or in the evening after a full day. And that, so I'm going to look at some of that when this is all done and figure out what does and doesn't work. But it was an incredibly long answer to say, like, I don't know, sometimes okay and sometimes really cranky about it.
No, I thought it was a great answer, because I think that's how a lot of us are in terms of this. I was writing an email to my newsletter community before we came on and talking about this kind of roller coaster of emotions and feeling fine some days and really optimistic and all of the silver linings this is going to bring, and then other days just like this crushing wave of, oh, I don't know, just like all the emotions, like sadness and grief and then guilt for the fact that, you know, we're safe and fine and just it's just overwhelming sometimes. I spent pretty much all day. Most days I find that I have at least one cry. Have you ever seen Broadcast News with Holly Hunter?
I haven't. It's funny, my mom and my aunt actually worked in Broadcast News for a minute, so they watched it, but I never did.
So Holly Hunter plays this female go-getting exec producer, and every day, apropos of nothing, she will just sit and sob and then blow her nose, and then she'll kind of get on with it. And it's almost like a stress relief thing. And I'm finding that I'm doing that, just like I can be in the middle of chopping vegetables and I will just start sobbing. And then I'm fine. But yesterday it was kind of like hourly. I was listening to this call-in show, like this radio on BBC Six Music, and every song was themed, and it was all about kind of medicine, and it was less so doctors or nurses, you know, it's like Dr. Feelgood and things like that. But every song was dedicated to somebody who was either the person knew who was working at the frontline healthcare. I sobbed all afternoon. My husband asked me what I was feeling anxious about yesterday.
I saw that. I'm like,
I we've been married for 12 years. I don't need a reason. And then he kind of, as he was walking away, he went, oh yeah, global pandemic. Yeah. Just kind of matter of fact.
I love John.
I know. And he is such a good kind of foil, but that whole kind of up and down and the roller coaster is really, I think, really interesting, seeing the different emotional responses at different times and also from different people as well.
So yeah. Can I read you something? It's actually my Monday blog post that just went live this morning, but I wrote it last week. And it's literally, clearly we are on the same wavelength, although on different continents. So I wrote, surrender is not a natural state of being for me. As someone who loves to find control or certainty in things, surrender is work. Last week, I was sitting in my house because that's what we do now. And I realized I pretty much adjusted to being quarantined. In my state, I'm currently in week 4. So this was just about 3 weeks in. Huh, I thought, I guess I don't leave the house anymore. And I'm just living this little life within these 4 walls. Please know that I share all of this with a deep awareness of the privilege that I have to be in 4 safe walls. But somehow I hit surrender. What came before it? Exhaustion, fear, worry, laughter, sadness, confusion, anger. What will come after it? Exhaustion, fear, worry, laughter, sadness, confusion, anger. So that's the beginning of it. And I just feel like that's the best answer anybody can give right now is, you know, I walk around my neighborhood and, you know, people move to opposite sidewalks and all that. And there's a little nod of how are you? And I'm like, weird, you know, that's the best answer I have in any given moment to a stranger on the street. But that's really what's true. You know, every emotion under the sun comes up sometimes within an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay.
I also wonder how much having this additional kind of space, I mean, kind of space as in space of time, you know, I can't kind of, I don't know. I feel like I've watched everything on Netflix. I haven't remotely, but you know what I mean? I think I kind of hit my fill of stuff to just fill my brain yesterday. And so once you've run out of the distractions and the busyness, there's nothing else to do other than feel. And that sucks. Can I just say, I do not want to feel sometimes.
I mean, none of us, look, even those of us that have been doing this work for a really long time, like none of us was prepared to sit through a global pandemic. I mean, nobody was. Nobody on the planet was.
Mm-hmm.
But really, truly, I mean, there's not, this is what I tell my clients, like, there's not a rule book for this.
No.
There's not a right way to work or to lead or to parent or to survive. Like, you're all just doing the best we can. And that's fine. Whether the best we can is TV all day, every day, or the best you can is, you know, learning 8 new languages. I don't care. It's fine. But like, just let yourself lower your bar and let yourself recognize that some days if you get up and the people in your house are fed, and that includes yourself, and then you go to bed, you've really won the day.
Yeah, I do. I this is a, I'm going to say, this is such a great opportunity to lean into those uncomfortable, crunchy parts. But I don't wanna.
You and I talk about this all the time where I'm like, I don't wanna do this thing.
No, I don't wanna do the hard thing.
But I always feel better after, right? And for me, the hard thing is I need to go and move my body somehow. That's like always the biggest edge for me. Or the hard thing is to just recognize you're watching TV and scrolling on Instagram and texting and this and that. And it's like, okay, maybe step away from something for a second. Maybe just give yourself a moment.
Yeah.
But it feels better.
Feeling the feelings, they never last as long as you think they're going to feel. The good and the bad, you know? So I think, you know, as somebody who is, you know, well-versed in living with anxiety and, you know, anxiety disorder, then that fear that those feelings of, oh my God, the world is ending, will just sweep you away and overwhelm you.
Right.
And they don't, you know, mm-hmm. maybe they do for 10 minutes, but then they pass and, you know, it moves on to something else. And so that being able to remind myself of that, and, you know, and as a parent as well, having to, you know, mm-hmm. doing that with my daughter as well, reminding her that, you know, it will pass. It always passes.
Yep.
That's a really good lesson to be learning, even though I don't want to have to learn that lesson.
Yeah, don't
or teach her that lesson. No, don't want to. Mm-hmm.
But we will.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's the thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, for as often as I and you and anyone, you know, I go into the don't want to space plenty and I'm like, and eventually I'll do it, you know? So maybe mm-hmm. I sit with the don't want to for a while, or maybe one of my big lessons recently is just, this is how you feel. And I sometimes notice it right away. And sometimes I don't notice it until I'm trying to figure out the list of all the things that will help me feel the way that I don't, like the opposite of how I'm, mm-hmm. you know, like if I'm anxious and stuff like that. But every single time, if I just sit there and say, oh, okay, we're going to feel a little angry today. Okay. That's just mm-hmm. how it's going to go. Then at least a little bit of that pressure hold is released.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really true. It really is the, it's like the same lessons keep coming back again and again.
All the time.
All the time. Yeah. This is just like a hot house version of it or something. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Like accelerated version. Oh, I'm feeling bored again. I don't like feeling bored. What can I do right. to distract me? Yeah.
Right.
Or I'm feeling yeah. anxious. Or I was feeling kind of very guilty yesterday, and a lot of that kind of I'm not doing enough and what to do. And somebody had, I was chatting with somebody on text, and she said something that her therapist said is, you're going to have to sit with the guilt mm-hmm. for a while. That's the work, because yeah. it reminds you that you can't control and fix. I was like, but I like controlling and fixing things.
I was talking to somebody this morning who's frustrated with somebody else in their life that is not taking this as seriously as she would like them to. And I'm mm-hmm. like, yeah. And that's going to be their choice. And that's going to suck if it has a negative mm-hmm. impact. And, you know, that's what they get to do. Like, they're a grown up. They get to do that mm-hmm. thing. They get to make whatever decisions they want to make. And you can try as much as you want. And then it's just a matter of making your own choices. Like, that's, I will say, that is clarity that I have gotten repeatedly multiple times a day in the last few weeks, is I can't do anything other than my own choices, my own state of being, my own practices, my own decisions, you know, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter. There's nothing else I have any impact over.
Yeah.
Sorry. I don't like it either. Look.
Still the part of my head just going, but that's not fair. I don't want that to be the truth.
I know. It's like a toddler stamping her feet somewhere.
Yeah.
I can do it better than everyone. I mean, at least that's what I say in my head. Like, I can do it all. Like, I got a million solutions for everything. And it's, and none of it matters.
No. None of it matters. Because we can't control a global pandemic. And
turns out, not even you and I can.
Not okay. even. Control freaks like us.
And I'm really good at controlling all the things.
Oh, me too. Well, at least I think I am. In reality, I'm not. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The illusion is, the story yeah. that I tell myself is that I'm very yes. good at controlling all the things.
Yes. Exactly. You've talked about business and how your in-person stuff is starting to move online some more. Have you got any kind of, are there any, I suppose, any predictions that you can see about how this is maybe going to change in the short, the mid, and the long term? Or are you still in that place of, I don't know what's going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have ideas, you know, like they're worth as much as, you know, like nothing. Like, my ideas and $5 will get you a cup of coffee at Starbucks, but like,
not at the moment they won't.
Yeah, not right now, unless you can get it delivered from someone yeah. wearing gloves and a mask. I think that the perceived difference in value between online things and in-person things is shifting. I have seen major events, you know, Comic-Con, you know, things like that, going to a virtual setting. And they're not changing the ticket price. And they're not issuing refunds to people that already have their tickets. I don't know specifically about Comic-Con, but, you know, like, mm-hmm. I don't know what they're doing with their ticket prices. But things that I have seen, you know, giant summits that fill stadiums, you know, huge events are shifting to a virtual platform. Now, the downside is that the internet is, like, jacked for everybody else. But there's a really strong rising up of the value in virtual events, virtual work, for, you know, whereas mm-hmm. I think that there is still a fair amount of people that are maybe not seeing that. And I think it's becoming more and more clear that it's about the result. It's not necessarily about the delivery mm-hmm. method. You know, there's some research around connection showing that it's the same. It doesn't matter the vehicle, it just matters the frequency. So whether it's mm-hmm. a text or a video or an actual in person, it's just about the frequency. So I think that probably translates from the individual to the collective. But that's the one thing that I see, is that people are starting to see, oh, I can get just as much value out of whatever this is, whether it's virtual or whether it's in person. And not that I also think that on the flip side, when this is all over, there's going to be a mass exodus, and I've seen the memes on the internet, every sporting event's going to sell out, every concert's going to sell out. You know, I just can't wait to go. And we're trying to do takeout from a local restaurant every Saturday just to do something in our community. And I can't wait to go and sit in those restaurants and eat in them again. But I do think that the value of things is shifting, and people are seeing, wow, we actually can work from home. My husband works for a medical practice. They've been around for a very long time. And they're going to telehealth, because that's what you have to do. And this is not a technology forward organization. Mm-hmm. You know, when it comes to the medical technology they use, they're very high tech, but when it comes to just the business operations, they're not a huge technology board. And they're doing telehealth, and they're sending some people home. So it's interesting to see, you know, another meme I've seen, all these jobs that you didn't think you could do from home, suddenly you can do from home. So I think the value and the impact, and I do think the way that work looks mm-hmm. is going to shift. Kelly, my podcast co-host, and I were talking a couple weeks ago, and she's thinking that there's maybe going to be a lot of commercial real estate on the market, because companies are going to realize, wow, we actually can do this from home. And then maybe we just rent a space quarterly to have a meeting, or, you know, weekly for a team meeting. I don't know. The exact opposite could be true. People, you know, we're a tribal species, so people may really just end up needing to get back to each other. But I do think that the difference between in-person and virtual is starting to blur.
Yeah, it's kind of forced people's hands, I think. And I do love the innovation that kind of comes out from it. Mm-hmm. Those people who are, you know, no, we can't possibly do this. It has to be in person. We have to have that in the room connection. The right. number of conversations that I'm having with coaches, for example, who have never done, say, Zoom coaching or Skype coaching, who are saying, I'm amazed at how you can still get that connection. I assumed that would only happen if you were in the same physical space. So things like that, it gives us more options. And again, silver linings, which I'm desperately seeking these days, it gives us those more options. And I think that is great. I find it really curious about how that these kind of big events and big conferences aren't reducing ticket price. And it just because it highlights some of my money stuff, because I'm assuming that in that ticket price, you're not just paying for the value of the thing, you're paying for, they've had to hire the venue and the caterers and they've printed the tickets and all of that stuff. And oh, and they're still charging that without that. Maybe that wasn't what you were paying for then.
And I would, you know, there are probably some who are giving some partial refunds, but I've seen some that aren't, right? Like for every point you can make the counterpoint. So yeah, I've seen some that aren't changing anything about ticket price. They're just changing the delivery method. And I haven't seen any, but I'm sure there are some that are, you know, doing at least partial refunds, but it's very interesting. It's very interesting to see just these huge giant events and I think of it from my perspective, you know, I live on the East Coast in the US, and a lot of interesting conferences happen on the West Coast. So like California, Seattle. And for me, that tends to be prohibitive. You know, it's a full day of a flight on either side. Mm-hmm. it's a cross country flight, and then you've got to stay, you know what I mean? Like, it's a big time cost, yeah, the whole nine yards. And I'm like, huh, I wonder if there's some conferences that I can now go to because they're virtual and I don't have to lose two extra days and, you know, $2,000 and all this kind of stuff. Like, if I could just buy the ticket, that's a really interesting concept for me. It really opens up what you can do when you don't have the geography that's in your way.
That is really interesting. Yeah, I'd not thought of that. Because things like, I'm trying to think of some of the big ones, and I just say, oh, it's in Las Vegas, or it's in San Diego, right, it's in wherever. I'm going to dismiss that because, you know, I'm in England, I have two kids and a dog, right, and a husband. Yeah, that, yeah, you know, that takes 2 years of planning to get me to something like that.
Yeah.
So the I think the innovation and the, I suppose, the imagination that is, it's prompting in some parts of the world and the industry, is great. Have you thought about, because you work with leaders, so have you got any thoughts about how this is kind of impacting them right now and what support are they needing right now?
So last week, and there's a few other coaches, we had this little Facebook conversation, you know, another coach I know posted something, and like a bunch of us, we had gone through a class together a couple years ago. So there was this little comment feed, and we all saw the same thing last week, is that suddenly we've shifted into extra high gear. And people have more meetings and there's less breaks in between. Well, because it's virtual. So you can use your commute time and now you can have more meetings and you don't need those 15 minutes to go from, you know, this office to that office. You can just back to back. So that seemed to be the thing. And I heard it and, you know, other people heard it from their clients and we sort of had this little mini conversation. And I think that people need to start looking at, you know, do I have to go to that? Is this required to be, you know, can this be an email, right? Like the old meme, it's like, can this meeting just be an email? You know, but looking at, you know, I think the top priorities for leaders right now have to be, how are they connecting to their team? How are they staying sane for themselves? And then, you know, what do we really need to do? Like, we've kind of made the shift. We're not just talking about how to get everybody home and how to stop everything. You know, that's done. We're in this space where we're all home and we're working virtually. So right now, we've got to connect with our people. We've got to keep ourselves sane. And we really have to seriously look at, instead of just saying yes to everything and planning 900 meetings, let's really ask the question, you know, take a minute and ask yourself, do I really need to do this? Is this meeting going to serve my people? You know, what are our goals right now? You know, the world changed. The goals in January are very different than the goals in April. So what are they? And let's just bring more humanity and humane leadership into the way things are going, because, you know, God bless the parents, right? Suddenly you have two working parents that have X number of children that they're also supposed to homeschool. I mean, it's not humanly possible to sit there, even if it's only 2 hours of work a day. You know, I think we need to start, and you know, what I've seen leaders doing, which I love, is just, let's just be flexible. You know what I mean? Like, if your kid's on Zoom, if your dog's on Zoom, if your cat's, like, whatever, like, let's just get rid of that expectation that we're going to show up and we're going to be perfectly professional and, you know, have our hair done and be on time and there won't be any interruptions. It's just not real. It's not a real expectation. Mm. So I think that everybody's still adjusting and trying to figure this out. And on the flip side, I've heard people saying, God, I love this. It's amazing. This is the break that I needed. And I'm so glad to be able to do this job in a quiet place and not have to deal with, you know, some of the pressure that comes from seeing people and hearing people's, you know, challenges all the time. But I think, you know, this is, I've been on a LinkedIn kick recently. And, you know, one of the things I wrote a couple of weeks ago was a post called Your Leadership is Showing. And it was really just about, what are you doing right now? Are you being humane? You know, are you focused more on productivity than people? I listened to a great podcast interviewing Jerry Colonna, which, you know, Joe, I love. He wrote a book called Reboot. And he talked about the thing that will break his heart in this is if we miss the opportunity to put people over profit. And to put people over productivity. And like, let's just be human. Let's be humane. Let's be kind. Let's be, you know, let's make people our first concern. and our first priority. And even if that means you have to do a layoff or you have to do a furlough, there's a way to do that stuff humanely. And I think that, you know, some of the organizations that are missing that opportunity to just let people be and to not be so, you know, fixated on productivity, I think that's a huge miss.
Yeah. There's a quite a senior exec. Well, I think she's an exec. Somebody, a mutual friend that we have who, you know, who has quite a senior role and quite a big well-known organization. She was saying how much she's loving the fact that she gets to see and everybody's having to show their humanity that bit more. So like, you can't do the full kind of buttoned up, I'm an executive, I'm in control all the time, when you've got, you know, the toddler chasing the dog in the background, right, of the Zoom room. And she was saying just how great it was for kind of shattering some of that kind of, you know, mm-hmm, armor that people,
yeah,
have been having in the workplace. And I thought that was a really great point.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to encourage my clients to do that, you know, to just allow the humanity and to think about what it means for them. I mean, a conversation I had with a client last week, you know, we're just kind of talking about the cycle of things. And I said, I want to understand if I'm hearing this right. What I'm hearing is that, you know, the stress gets to a certain point and then you do one of the things, you go for a run, you like mindfulness, whatever the tool is, right? But like, that's the order of events. And he said, yeah. I said, okay, great. Challenge for the next week is to reverse those two. Let's figure out which one thing you can do every day and see how it impacts. I'm like, I don't know, might be a total failure. Just really curious. But what happens when you switch it? What happens when you do the thing? You use the supportive tool proactively, mm-hmm, like a multivitamin, instead of reactively, like Dayquil or like an aspirin, yeah, or something. Exactly. So, yeah. I mean, I'll let you know in a couple of days, but I think that's important.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
We all know what to do when we get to that point. What if we just did that stuff first? What would it do to our capacity and to our resilience?
My mind is blown at that concept. I'm also aware of the time, and I did say I was going to try and keep these around about 30 minutes, but I could genuinely talk to you all day. And we have on several occasions.
Like three more.
Yeah, I know. So what's giving you joy right now?
So I am realizing how much of an edge joy is for me. And I think I don't feel like I'm in general an unhappy or not joyous person, but when I really think about what brings me joy, I'm like, I don't know. But let me think. So I'm just baking.
you are? What have you baked?
Baking. Oh my God. Everything. I baked a banana. So my husband is diabetic. So everything I bake is, you know, I try and make it like flour free or sugar free, mm-hmm, or something. So it's a lot of like banana and oat stuff, but I've made a banana bread. I made banana oat blueberry muffins. And then yesterday I made something that was 3-ingredient cookies, and it was bananas, almond flour, and baking powder. And then I added some cinnamon and vanilla and a little bit of like crushed sugar sprinkles on top. They're my favorite thing on the planet right now. I'm impressed that there are still some left because they were so good. So I like that. It's bringing me joy to just have days that don't feel heavy. I mean, mm-hmm, in this moment, when I'm in a really good headspace and I'm going out for a daily walk and I see that there are trees blooming, mm-hmm, and I see flowers in people's yards and like feeling the sun on my body. I was walking the other day and the sun was beating so hard on my back, but yet it was windy. So like my front was cold and my back was hot. And that was just the loveliest moment in time. And I have two sweet cats and they always bring me joy. So that, mm-hmm, was nice.
You do have very sweet cats. Yeah,
I do. They're sweet, yeah, babies.
Well, I'm trying to think, what's brought me joy for the past few days? I mean, I too have done some baking. So, mm-hmm, I was slightly distracted just a few minutes ago because I could hear the oven beeping and no one was turning the oven off for the beeping, even though they have been given firm instructions.
There's a lot of control in baking, by the way. It's very...
Oh, yeah. you have to measure things out precisely. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was never very good at baking with Maya when she was little, you know, a toddler, and they just want to like splash a pin around and I'll be like, oh, don't get
it's gonna be wrong, it's gonna be wrong.
Yes. That was a good lesson. I kind of letting go. But yeah, so I baked bread this morning.
Jealous.
And some banana and not oat, but oat bran, banana mm-hmm. bran muffins, because we had some bananas that were going kind of a bit yucky. And I said to both the kids, I'm making muffins. What kind of muffins? Banana muffins. They don't want it. It's not chocolate chip. They don't want it. That's fine. Yeah, for me.
You know what? What is something that's bringing me joy, and I feel like it's important. And it's seeing the good in people. Like that never ceases to bring me joy. So there's a neighbor two doors down from us, and she called the other day, and she's retired. I mean, she's definitely an older woman and widowed in the last couple of years, and she's making masks. And she called all the neighbors to see if they need them, and you know, husband healthcare, we're fine with masks. But I hung up with her and I thought, huh, I wonder if my friends have masks. So I reached out to a couple friends that live within a mile, and one was fine and one needed them. So this Sunday, yesterday, just day, I have a friend that lives a mile away. So we met up halfway, minus 6 feet, and I gave her masks for her and her husband and her son. And we stood in a gas station parking lot just talking for like half an hour, 45 minutes from this weird, awkward social distance. And then we left and we're like, okay, bye. You can't. Bye. But seeing the good things that people are doing, like the news stories of, you know, like the celebrities that are donating, that just the people that are making masks and the local businesses that are shifting gears and, you know, making protective equipment, like that stuff really, like that hits me in the feels in the best way.
Yeah, totally. That was going to be my my recommendation for today. The Guardian do a daily podcast, which obviously of late has been, you know, heavy. But today it's about the good and the connection. And so they've got stories of one young girl, she's only in her 20s, who is living. It shows you she works as a care assistant in a nursing home.
Yeah.
And so what they're doing is they're living in because the place has been put on lockdown.
Oh.
So, you know, she's in her mid-20s. She's not going out, drinking with her friends and doing all those kind of things. They're living in. They're not, nobody's leaving so that they can protect their, she calls it her second family.
Oh my God.
Guy who does, he like to pimp my ride type car thing, and so he has done up his car, and it's the COVID response car or something, and so, and they've actually now got a fleet of them. Some of that, I think the local BMW garage has got involved, and so they're going around and they're doing things like picking up shopping for people and bringing it for, and just so many lovely, it really is bringing out the best and the connection. And in a world where, if you'd asked me just a couple of months ago how connected or divided we were, so we're so divided, you know, and I know it's similar in the States, you know, we had Brexit, we're so divided, I don't know how we're going to get back. That's something that I'm getting all emotional about it.
No, I know, I feel the same way.
Yeah, and that's lovely, and that's something that I would like us all to remember, please.
Yeah.
Laura Heacock, thank you so much.
Thanks, Jo. This was fun.
It was fun. I will see you
in a couple of minutes. Everyone else, thanks.
But for everybody else, where can they find you?
LauraHeacock.com, designed by the lovely Jo Casey. Thank you. like a million places. So the podcast is Doing Good Business. We're on every major podcast place and at doinggoodbusiness.com. And then Kind of a Matter, I write on Mondays. So if you pop over there, you can see the rest of that post that I wrote, that I read from earlier, called Surrender, and on the Instagrams.
Lovely. Thank you so much. You're one of the things in my life that brings me joy. So I really appreciate you being here.
Back at you.
Okay. Thank you for listening to the Business Not As Usual podcast with me, Jo Casey. Episodes are broadcast live on my Facebook page on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. I would really appreciate it that if you like the show, you could give it a review in iTunes. It really helps people to find the show and helps me keep doing it. Appreciate you being here. I will see you next time.